Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. My next guest was told when she was younger in school that she was not good at art. Well, as she got older, she realized she can take her art was really good and she turned it into a career. Not only that, she's neurodivergent and she's the co-author of Beyond the Ordinary. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage and let's learn more about her. See you there.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Debbie Crouch. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Hello, lovely to join you.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Certainly. My name's Debbie, and I'm a creative wellness therapeutic art tutor. And I found on my own journey that learning how to draw and paint as an adult really supported my well-being. And it helped so much that I gained a passion that I wanted to share this with other people. And that's how I started up Art for Wellness. And Art for Wellness is there for everybody to have a go.
All right. So when did you realize you were neurodivergent?
I guess I didn't really know as such until I started to recognize traits from interacting with other people. And it was when I was sort of building my business, I recognised that I had these traits going back to being a child, but it's never actually been labelled as such. And I became really interested in it and started joining various different groups and communities to find out more about it. And I actually joined something called NeuroBoost, which was really good. It was an online group that people could interact and talk to each other. And it made you feel that you were in a safe space, that you could talk about the things that you were going through and feel that you weren't being judged, and realize that having neurodiverse conditions, it's like it's your magic. It's the person that you are, and it's using them as a positive. And to be able to think that you're not different to you may be different to other people because they don't understand you, but you've still got a lot of value out there to share with others.
Now, did you ever get yourself an official diagnosis?
No, I haven't. Not an official diagnosis, no. I've done various, like, you know, that online tests that you can do, where you answer different questions, and that's identified it being there. And I know from talking to other people, I recognize different traits that I have and things that I struggle with. But I'm a great believer that you don't actually always need a title or you don't need a tag. You just need to think of it more of an understanding that, yes, there is something different about me, but that's all right. And
that seems to be the key to everybody who's neurodiverse is they need to accept that, hey, you are different. It's all right to be different, and it's all right to stand out.
That's right, definitely.
Now, when you realized that you were neurodivergent, have you figured out what you were? Was it ADHD? Was it ASD? Or was it another form of neurodivergency?
I'm not an expert by any means, but I think it's more on the ADHD side of it. And I recognize how sometimes I get confused, and I recognize symptoms like going back to my childhood. I was very introvert. I didn't seem to fit in with everybody else, seemed different. And my style of learning has always been different to how other people have wanted to learn things. So it's reflecting really on experiences that I've gone through personally.
Now, So that means you probably deal with things like running thoughts, constantly jumping from one project to another. Did you, before you figured out you had ADHD, did you feel different from everybody else? Like,
Yes.
why are they able to focus on something and my mind is just scattered all over and I'm jumping all over the place?
Yeah. Because you'd look at other people and they would deal with things in different ways, and you'd think, well, I don't think like that. Or you may realize that you need a little bit more information to process what you're trying to understand in a different way, in a different format to what everybody else may need it around you.
Now, from reading your bio, you had said when you were growing up in school that you had an art teacher that literally said, "Why are you doing art? You're not good at it." What was it like to realize later in life that, hey, wait a minute, he was wrong. My art is what I love, it's what I'm good at.
Yes, because at the time, being a young person, you really believe what these adults say, that they must know more about the world. And if they say that you're not any good at art, then that must be true. But I think when you learn more about yourself and realize that these people didn't really know you as a whole person, they didn't know what you were interested in, they didn't know how you like to learn things. And it was very narrow-minded in the way people were pigeonholed into certain ways of thinking. And it's from finding that I had a passion inside to do something as an adult made me realize that not that I'd wasted my time, but I hadn't really followed the direction in my life that I wanted to, and that they were wrong. That whatever they said, they have not got the right to stop me from having my dreams, from having my vision, from wanting to explore something that I really enjoyed. They weren't the definite person to say that is the truth. And realizing that you have a right to choose what you want to do and what you know is better for you. And it's about exploring. It's about having a go. It's not being afraid to just splash a bit of paint, or it's not being afraid to express yourself. And it's not copying somebody else. It's finding your own style that's inside of you. And everybody's got a way of being able to create and express themselves. And it may not be the same as yours, but that's great. You know, the world would be a boring place if we all did the same thing.
That's so true. I mean, I've talked about it many times and I mentioned it in my book and I've mentioned it on my podcast. And what people don't realize is if you look at things like Ford and when you first started with the first car, it was one model, one brand, one color. And after a while, people just got tired of everybody having the same thing. And then eventually they came to him and they said, "Hey, we want a different color. We want different models, different types of top things." And he realized, people are right. Why don't we have different types? And why don't they give them different types? And then all of a sudden you have Model Ts, you have sports cars in red and black and green, different colors. And everyone was sharing their differences because they weren't normal anymore. They were standing out because they had different colors and different models. No one was the same anymore. And it's the same today with like when we had COVID with the masks. No one wanted the same old boring little hospital mask. Everyone was wearing different masks. You got masks that light up, masks with animal prints on them, masks with colors on them. It's that feeling of, hey, I don't want to be part of the fray. I want to be one that stands out. I don't want to be normal. I want to be different. And I want people to see that I'm different.
And it's knowing that you've got a choice to be yourself. It's knowing that you've got a choice to choose what you want It's not, like I said before, being pigeonholed into a certain area, which unfortunate society tends to do that with people. You know, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to behave a certain way. And life isn't like that. It's finding out how to be the best you that you can be, and accepting that that is the good person. That is the good person.
I mean, what people don't understand is, and I've talked about this wholeheartedly with a lot of my guests, is teachers, caseworkers, they need to be taught how to deal with those of us who are neurodivergent. And this is because we're a totally different breed than the neurotypicals. Our minds think differently. We see the world differently. You can't just sit there and dictate to us, you can only do this because of your disability. And I've been through that, and I've had countless other people been through it, tell me they can't do this, and then they turn around and lo and behold, they've become a successful person. It's a framework of, hey, listen, you need to understand how our minds work. We're not like everybody else.
That's true. And I think you can see that in children in schools. I mean, there's some organisations that are really good and they embrace the idea of letting the child develop in the best way for them as a person. But unfortunately, it's not always the case. And just because somebody isn't academic or goes down this doesn't mean to say that they haven't got a lot of value, that they can't do something extraordinary that they're really passionate about. If we could change people's perceptions on how to treat people, it would make the world a better place, wouldn't it?
Yes, I mean, it's like the old story of the art teacher telling their student, hey, you can't paint that flower that color, that because it doesn't come in that color. But the child is like, but I like that color. And it's that back and forth until the teacher goes, sit in the corner. You gotta teach creativity early on in the childhood, because people don't realize creativity comes from your imagination. It's a
It
form of, it's
does.
an outlet that we use. It's what makes us happy. It's what our imagination draws from. If you can teach these teachers to push onto these kids, be creative. Be who you want to be. Draw the colors you want to draw. It kind of reminds me of a Harry Chapin song where the little girl goes to school and she's painting the flower one color, and the teacher says, no, you can't paint it that. And then the child gets put in the corner, and then child goes to another school, and it's like pushed into her head that flowers only could be one color. And she's doing it, and this teacher's like, no, be as creative as you want to be. Paint it whatever color you want. Paint it the colors of the rainbow. This is the kind of teachers we need in our school systems
Yes.
to push creativity.
Absolutely. Yeah, and to let people explore, to let them have fun, to enjoy it. And it's a shame that we lose that essence of being childlike. And that's what I try to embrace in the art that I teach other people. It's just have fun with it. And just explore your imagination. I mean, the three thing principles I teach by is shape, color, and imagination. And I think those are the most three important things to think of. And I just love to see when I've done my workshops how we might do a theme, say, on animal faces. But yet, everybody's is totally different and unique. And I love watching other people be creative and see what comes out of their minds. And the ideas that you can share with other people, never get tired.
What teachers and people and parents don't realize is our creativity, our love for art, it's an outlet. Don't stifle it, because it's what we use to escape.
It is. Yeah.
Now, let's go back into your childhood for a minute. You were bullied. How did you get through
Yeah.
all that?
I guess looking back, I always had something inside me where I felt that I was different, but that was fine. That I felt that somehow I knew I was going to have a different life to the other people around me, that I wasn't going to follow protocol. And I suppose I invented stories and I invented invisible friends, which I'm not shy to say, and just let my imagination do whatever I wanted to do. So I was quite all right to be in my own little world and to explore the things that I enjoyed and to cut myself off from the people that weren't nice. I didn't want to be like them. I didn't want to fit in to their world. And I know it's difficult when you're at school and you're in an environment where they're surrounding you. But I guess I always knew there was something out there that was going to come into my life that would change everything. I didn't know what it was. I just grew up with that inside. And all right, it might have taken me till my 40s to really find out what that was. But for me, it's a passion of creativity and wanting to help other people find that magic.
No, what is it like to refine to find yourself all over again and find and do what you love doing?
Oh, well, it's like every day I wake up and I'm excited. I can't wait to start the day. I'm always full of creative ideas, and I'm very lucky in the sense that when I was doing art as an adult, I also met my best friend as well. So I've got somebody that we share that joy together. And we're always coming up with crazy ideas or sparkly ideas or whatever you want to call about different ways of being creative and showing that to other people. And there's never a dull moment. There's never a moment where I would say I was bored. There's always something to think to do. I mean, yes, you do. Everybody has off days. You're only human. And I think it's realizing that if you have a day where you don't want to be creative, look at doing something else. Read a book, listen to some music, go for a walk, have a sleep, watch telly, do whatever you feel that you need to do that's good for you inside. But don't beat yourself up about it. Realize that we all have days where we're not on form or we're not altogether there. But do something for yourself that's going to nourish you, that's going to make you feel better.
Now let's talk about your business, the Art for Wellness, and how it's going today since the book came out.
Yes, because I've been part of a really good book called Beyond the Ordinary, which was by Mandy Nicholson, that was released in October. And it's where 30 neurodiverse and creative women were invited to share their story. And in their story, it's about the different things that they've been through in life and how they've overcome their barriers and their hurdles. And it is so powerful to read that. I'm learning something all the time by reading everybody's chapters and everybody's stories. But and this book is there for being able to help and support other people. And it's just an amazing feeling to think that you've been part of a book that is out there in the world now. And on the day of launch, when it became a number one bestseller, we were actually at a venue where the book was being launched, and the atmosphere was, we were all so excited to celebrate. And there were some of the authors there that were sharing their stories, and you could really feel the emotions in the room as if you were going through their experiences of and their own personal stories. And yeah, it's just got so much value. Sorry, I could talk about it all day when I get
So,
going.
did the book help your business?
Yes, because I'm able to share that with other people and to show them that I'm not afraid to share my story, and the other people aren't afraid to share their story, but they're doing it in a way where they want people to realize that they're not on their own, that they're not alone, that there's always something they can learn from that. Oh.
That's a huge lesson is in in the neurodiverse world is people need to
Yeah.
realize they're not alone. There are millions of people out there who are neurodiverse going through similar stories, similar situations as yours and all the other women that have shared their story. It's really a tale of, hey, you're not alone in this world. There are millions
Yeah.
of others out there relating to your story who've gone through something similar.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, what is it like doing the stuff you love doing? Waking up every day
Oh.
and just teaching art.
I can't express how much joy and hope it makes you feel inside. And when you get feedback from other people, or you can see how they've grown and developed. Or even did a workshop recently where there was an elderly man there, and he said right at the beginning, "I haven't got a creative bone in my body. I don't know what I can do at this workshop." But he threw himself in and he started having a go, and he made a picture. And at the end of it, he says, "That has re been really enjoyable. It's brought up thoughts and memories for me that I'd completely forgotten about." And he says, "When you're coming back to do it again, and when you can see how it's helped and supported somebody else, it just fills my heart with joy." And that's what it's about. Not only doing it for yourself to feel good, but doing it so others can see those benefits as well.
What I believe is and what you and all the other ladies in the book who are doing art and everything is not only is it an outlet, but art brings out the inner youth. And you're no longer thinking like an adult at that point. You're thinking more like a child. You're letting your younger self take control of your body and you're having fun. And that's part of life. Is to have fun and not be so,
Yeah.
to use an English term, stodgy.
Yeah.
To enjoy life, and art is all about being creative. And I applaud all you women who help with art because art is one of the main creative outlets there is in the world is because you get to do what you see in your imagination.
Yeah. And how many times can you say that you can do that and express your inner feelings that you might not have even known were there? And sometimes, so to being creative, you can express yourself by visuals that you can't say in words. So it's like another form of communication as well.
And I'm pretty sure you're gonna see that elderly man as he evolves through time, as he comes back and comes
Yeah.
back, and he'll see his art will start to get better and more refined and better, and then to the point where he's gonna be so excited about it.
That's and encouraging people to put their art on the wall and put it somewhere where they can see it and enjoy it. Because I know from my own experience, my art teacher always used to say, this is as an adult, he always used to say, "There's no such thing as bad art. It's just a happy accident." Like if you do something and it doesn't quite go the way you expect it, then it's a happy accident. And sometimes it can turn out, if you move away from something and come back and have a look at it, and you start seeing things in there that you didn't see before. In fact, he could encouraged me to enter a competition at our local gallery. And that's what my friend and I did. We drew a picture, painted a picture, entered it into the gallery. And just to be selected to be in the gallery and have our pictures on the wall and go in and see it, to me, it was like win a total winner, just being able to do that. And I would advise anybody, if they get the opportunity to enter a competition, to just go for it, just do it, because you just never know where it's going to lead to.
Now, you had gone through a new form of college, a college that helps people recover from their mental breakdowns and everything. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to go talk about how the book has helped you, and how did this college help you get past your past traumas?
Right, when I went through recovery college, we did a course, Wellbeing Recovery Action Plan, and it was looking at accepting that mental health is an illness, like any other illness, and how to deal with it as a person, to find tools to that. You're able to cope, to help your own self-care as you go through. And I went on to be a volunteer in the organisation afterwards as well, so that I was able to help and support others by doing the recovery plan. And then when I first set up my business, I did a recovery coaching course to better understand more about what recovery is about, what people need, so that I can bring that into my creativity, so that when I'm delivering my workshops, I feel that I've got a real lived experience and a real understanding of what it's like for other people out there. And I think that's helped me to be able to offer the things that I do.
Now let's dive into the whole book. What inspired you really to share your story with the world?
I guess part of my recovery, one of the first things that they said was that there is a power behind sharing your story. Now, at the time, I had a fear inside still where I didn't feel that I could express myself or share my story, because I feared being judged. I feared what other people would say. And there's always that, whether it's social media or media, whether they're going to I don't know what word to say, but w when they don't get it right and the message out there doesn't become a positive one, and you worry about that. So it's through doing different courses and meeting different people, being in different groups, and as I've built my confidence and understood more about how to share your story, and in a way that is helpful and supportive for other people, that I thought, yes, I want to do that. If by sharing my story, if that helps somebody to identify that they're not alone, or that there is a way to change your life, or that there is a connection by being with other people, then there's power behind that.
I mean, you're not alone in the fact that the fear of being judged. I talked to with another woman who shared their story, and she was hesitant about sharing it because she was afraid she was going to be judged and what people would think of her. And I told her, don't be afraid. Just be proud of it. I mean, because not many people get to share their story with the world. You are who you are, and it's part of who you are. I mean, it's part of life, the fear of being judged. And I mean, it's the same thing that went from my mind when I wrote my book is, do I really want to publish it? What are people going to think of me? What kind of reviews am I going to get on it? And as people keep telling me, people are gonna say what they want to say, but don't be afraid, because if they leave a review, that means they bought your book. So basically, they bought your book to leave a remark. They spent the $25 to leave a negative remark. I mean, So, what's the point of that?
And I think some people feel it makes them feel better to say something negative about someone else and actually deal with their own problems. So, in a way, I almost feel sorry for them because they're not in a position where they're able to deal with themselves as a person and what is important to them in their life. Oh, yes, it's much easier to have a go at so and so over there because I didn't like what they said about this. But do you know, in life, you're never going to be able to please everyone. But that doesn't matter. As long as you know inside that you are living your best
That's
life,
so true.
then it doesn't matter, does it?
I mean, what people need to realize is you go onto Amazon and you look at any product out there, you're going to find the good and the bad. You're never going to find one product that's got all positive reviews. There are those who will either get something that came from a bad batch or some people that had a bad experience. And with books, you're going to get someone who just can't relate to it. Someone who doesn't understand what the narrow, diverse world is like, who can't relate to it, and is going to leave her a bad review because they can't relate to it. And a review is a review no matter what. It's something that's on your rec, that's something that's there because they left it there. Someone who leaves a negative review a lot of times is, like you put it, is almost in a sense a bully. And the best action is just to let it go. Don't communicate with them, don't remark to them. Just let it go. It's a review and it will, you're gonna get more, people will see that you'll get more positive than you will get negative.
Absolutely.
Now, what does it mean to you to have people read your story and relate to it?
Oh, it gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. It's I can't always express things by words, but it makes me realize that I've done the right thing from sharing it if it's going to help someone else. Because I think when you're going through these situations, you do feel alone. You do feel that there's nobody out there that you can talk to. But when you read someone else's story, I've done it myself, I've read other people's story and thought, they've been through this situation. And I'm reading it from a different perspective because they're on the other side. And it's the learning that you get from that. And to realize that nothing ever stays the same. Things are constantly changing. Constantly changing.
Now, what does it feel like to be part of the number one best-selling book on Amazon?
It feels unreal. It feels like being part of an amazing gathering of people that have shared their heart and soul behind it, and to be number one. It wasn't really about when you did it, you didn't think, oh, I wanted to be number one or how many books you're going to sell. You do it because you want to share what's in here with somebody else. But to think if it got to number one, people are wanting to read it, people are wanting to know more about it. And it's more to do with if it goes out into the world, how many people is it going to help? How many lives is it going to touch? That's to me what it's about.
And I mean, I haven't read the book, but just from talking from you, woman, I can tell there's going to be many women that will read this book who are neurodivergent and they're going to relate to every, you're going to find one, women who are going to relate to every story and realize, oh my God, this is my life. This explains why I'm different from the world, why I stand out from the pack. This is why this. These women have shared their stories, and I relate so much to them because I've gone through a lot of what they've gone through.
That's right.
Now,
And it's
what?
also knowing the similarities as well between stories. Like when you read somebody else's story and you say, oh, yeah, I recognize that bit, or I recognize those feelings, or and it's the things in common that bring you together as well.
It's like when a parent gets their child diagnosed with ADHD or autism, and the doctor's sitting there describing the traits, and the parent's just looking back at themselves and like, yep, I have that, I do that, I do that. And then they realize, wow, that means I must be autistic or ADHD myself. It's the commonality of sharing common traits, or kind of like you said, kind of emotions or feelings. It's a powerful thing.
Yeah, it is.
Now, how hard was it for you to write this story?
I guess because it came from the heart, it didn't feel like a hard task to do. It felt that I was speaking my truth. Yes, you have to think about how what messages you want out there and how you want to share that with someone else in the right way. But it just came out. It just came out. And I think when you start to share your story, the best thing to do is to just write it all down anyway. And then just work on it until it's at a stage where if somebody was to read that, they would understand. They would feel emotion. They would gain something positive from doing that. And not be afraid to just get it out there on paper.
And now, what advice do you have for those going through what you've been going through, what you have gone through?
I guess one of the things that I started to do was right in the beginning, it's called free writing. And I would time myself for 5 minutes to just write whatever was on my in my head on paper and just get it out there. And if you look at it and you didn't like what you've wrote, rip it up, throw it away, it doesn't matter. But it's learning to express yourself by getting whatever thoughts are in your head onto paper. And sometimes you read it and you might learn something about yourself that you hadn't even thought you were thinking about. It's just have a go at doing little things that are going to help you in the long run.
And finally, where can people find out more about you and pick up a copy of the book?
Right. Well, I have a Facebook group. I've also got a website. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, I'm all over the place. The books are on Amazon, available on Amazon. And if you look for creativewellnessjourney.co.uk, or if you look for Artful Wellness with Debbie Crouch, but I can share the links and everything with you if anybody's interested in finding out who I am, where I am, and what I can offer.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Reed Miles. That was Debbie Crouch, and I'll see you on the next one. See you there, everybody. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.